Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
I liked them all, but this little girl on the end, I mean, she got with it, didn't she? Now, I believe, church, those kids could teach us something. We're excited about everything there is in the whole wide world, but Jesus is alive. Hear me? He's either alive inside of you or he has died a long time ago, and you don't show it. We show on the outside what we have on the inside. I believe that. God made us all different. I know Bob can't reach this pulpit. I love you, Bob. All my heart. He's doing well, by the way. I saw him. Terry was making him walk. Terry takes excellent care of your pastor. And between her and God, he's just got to get well, doesn't he? And when I saw him, though, he hadn't shaved since last Tuesday. And my mama, they tell me, the boys say I remind them of mama, and that's a compliment. He hadn't shaved, so I said something like mama would have said to him, "Honey, did you lose your razor?" She was the sweetest person. So direct, Michael, but you got it. And I'm telling you, I don't think Pastor Fry went home and shaved, but he would have if my mama told him. Don't you kid yourself. Today, such an exciting day. Such a day to, I've read everything I can pick up about Passion Week, the Passover Week. There's so much preparation. I read about preparation. I read about the cross. I read about the crucifixion. I read it in all of the Gospels, and then I had other books that I picked up by other authors and read. I read about the tomb, and my daughter said to me, they're temporarily living with us right now because they're building a home, and it's been really good up until last night. She's preaching this morning at our church, and I was preaching here, and we kind of like to be alone. There isn't any alone. People's coming and going and doing, but what a glorious, glorious sermon. I thought, God, if you'd have me preach on preparation, would you have me preach on out of John or out of Luke? Which place should I go? And I thought, John was a witness. John was right there. If you read what John wrote in the Bible, he saw it all. He didn't have someone tell him about it. You are getting his view of everything that happened to Jesus. Then I went to Luke, and I read where Luke sat down with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she told him most of the things, read it yourself, that he wrote come from Jesus' mother. So we've got a man's point of view, which we know we always need. No, I meant that wasn't funny. But we also have a woman's point of view that we also need. And I believe Luke prepared, preparation, told what had happened. And as I was reading, I thought, you know, Jesus come into the city of Jerusalem just a few days before the Passover. And I thought of my little girls. When they were 8 and 4, and we didn't have our Tara yet, we went to Florida. We saved our money. Remember, Jerry? I sewed little outfits. Bonnie, don't you laugh. For my girls. I've never sewed since. But I sewed little, we were so excited about going to Florida. And when we got there, we had friends that were there, husband and a wife, and they were so good to us. And they had bought us tickets for the Passion Play, the drama that was outside. And I thought to myself, okay, Tammy's 8 and Tani's 4. They won't sit through a 3-hour play, a drama, with all that going on. Michael, I wondered what I was going to do with my kids. But we couldn't give them their tickets back. They paid big time for our tickets. So off we went, the four of us. And it was 3 hours long. And this is what we all saw. I had a woman's point of view. Jerry had a man's point of view. Our girls had a kid's point of view. Tani probably would have been the one that danced right here. Tammy would have been the one that would have looked at her and said, you better straighten up. All different personalities. They watched as Jesus got on a donkey, rode down the street of Jerusalem. It was all acted out. And they had the palm branches, and then they were waving everything, and they were just dancing and yelling, and Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I seen them just sat so still, both of them. And all the joy of who was this man? Who was this man? Well, he was Jesus. He was from Nazareth. He was of J&J Carpentry, Joseph and Jesus. He had his own business going. He had his, and people knew of him from then. He was born in Bethlehem. Somebody said on the side of the drama, somebody said born in Bethlehem. Was that the couple that wasn't married? And oh, no. Was that his daddy? Or did he take it on just and said he'd be his daddy? I'll tell you, it was a mess. But somehow, it's all worked out, and he's riding down the street of Jerusalem. He went directly to the temple. The girls watched, and we watched. He went to worship God, and when he got in the church, they had tables set up, and they were buying and selling. And they were making money off of each other. And they were putting it in somewhere that no one knew. They were doing everything in the church but worshiping God. Everything but worshiping God. And this man called Jesus, the girls watched, went in and drove him out of the temple and said, this is the house of God. This is the house of prayer where we need to pray. Now in church, we're so hung up on all the equipment and all the things, and we've got everything, Michael, going, that how long have we prayed this morning for the service? How long have we been on our knees and got in the Word of God and read about all the things that happened this week? What kind of time, church, do we spend on things that are just barren busyness, I think? But he went to the temple, and it wasn't long after that they showed in the drama that Jesus was arrested. His own people turned on him. Do you ever have someone that you just absolutely love, and they just kind of left you out, or they just really disappointing in your life? Just didn't think that could happen. That's what happened to Jesus. Now, there was a group of people. There was a group of people that loved him and knew who he was and followed him. The girls are still sitting, and they're still watching. Preparation day. And we'll skip to where they tried him before Governor Pilate, and they took him down that same road and up another one to a cross on Calvary. Oh, I looked at my Tani then. She was only 4. They put the nails in his hands and in his feet, and they had a loud hammer when they go, boom! And it just echo all over the place that we were sitting. And I seen her, I'd say, jump. And I'd see Tammy sitting so straight because she just didn't do anything she wasn't supposed to do. And when they hung him on the cross, I seen my Tammy go. And Tawny looks at her like this little one did. What am I supposed to do now? They hung him on a cross called Calvary. And to put it all in a nutshell, they took him down and we seen the whole thing. But we got in the car. This is what I want you to remember. An 8-year-old and a 4-year-old and a dad and a mom that had saved their money to go on a vacation. Tawny said, "Mom, why did they kill him? Mom, why didn't somebody stop him? Mom, did they really let him hang there?" You say, "Pastor, this is getting to me." I hope so. I hope so. We have a lot of stories that we tell, but we have few stories that tell about the true Jesus Christ. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Let me know why he had to bleed on that cross for me. Let me know that's the only way we can get to heaven. It's not through baptism. It's not through going to church. It's not through I played the piano my whole life over there, and you know I'm going to get to go to heaven. No, sir, church. The Bible says if you believe on Jesus Christ and love him with all your heart, ask him to take away your sins, you will be saved. And a lot of things have changed through the years, but that has not. That has not. Our only way to get to heaven. The Bible says of crucifixion, two men, this is out of Luke 23, two men hung beside him. He hung on the cross as a criminal when he was executed. And they called along one of the criminals, and Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Last night, I picked up my Bible because my house was full. I went in the bathroom where I put on my makeup and combed my hair, and I made me a desk, and I began to be alone there in that space, and it said, "God forgave from an old rugged cross. They don't know what they're doing to me," he said. Well, I'll forgive them if they ask me to forgive them. And then if they forgive me, Michael, then I'll forgive them. But I'm not going to talk until... Come on, church. Let's get a hold of this. Let's get a hold of this. Forgiveness is how we live. Forgiveness is how we love. You say, "You don't know what the person did to me." Jesus was hung on a cross. It said, and I think there might have been a little boy there. There might have been a little boy that had give his lunch, that had went home and said, "Mama, don't have no lunch. That man took my lunch and he divided up and he fed all them people." There might have been a little boy sitting on a hill and said something like this, "He's the one in the middle. Those other two, they've done crimes. They're bad people. They have stole money. But the one in the middle said they hasn't done anything, and they're crucifying him." Remember, they did not take Jesus' life. He gave his life for you and me, and that deserves a clap. He gave his life in order that I might be saved. Saved. He's the one in the middle. He saved others. Let him save himself, the one on the one side said. We're still in 23 Luke. And one of the criminals that were there said, "Are you really the Messiah? Then save you and us." The other said, "Don't fear God, since you're under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then Jesus said, the criminal said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And just like that, he didn't have to take communion. He didn't have to memorize half the Bible. He didn't have to go door to door. "Are you saved? And here I am," and present the gospel. He didn't have to do anything but said, God, I know who you are, and will you remember me? And you know what God said back? Today, not tomorrow, in 3 or 4 weeks, today you will be with me in paradise. And paradise isn't where we stay a few days and then go on to heaven. We go, Michael, a direct shot to heaven. We meet Jesus just like this. Yes, sir, you can clap. We meet Jesus just like this. He sees our face. We see his face. It's real, church. If it isn't, you're taking, I'm not taking any chances at all. If it isn't, you're taking a great big chance if what I'm saying today is right. Right. He said, and that was crucifixion. They put him on a cross, and about noon, I'm still in Luke, about noon, it began to get dark. Now, someone said there was a cloud that come in, and, you know, it was kind of dark. No, the Bible says, over the whole land, until 3 in the afternoon, it was dark. The sun stopped shining. My Bible says, those that were making fun, those that was having a party, quit partying. They looked up, and I think they couldn't see their hand in front of their face. The first hour, some of them still carried on. The second hour, it become real quiet. In the third hour, I think you could hear the drops of blood drop from his side. Read it yourself and see what you think. The sun stopped shining. The curtain of the temple. I just see this stuff. I see it when I set my old green chair, but Tara keeps sitting in it because she thinks she's going to get something from God. It's my chair. And so the curtain, there's the outer part of the temple. Then there's the holy of holy part of the temple. And then there's the most holy part of the temple. I'll tell you, if you didn't go very often, you wouldn't even know where to sit, would you? People were out here. They had their lambs. They brought their lambs. They would slit the lamb's throat, the priest would. Well, I don't like that very well. Well, it's right there, and that's what it says. And my little 4-year-old and little 8-year-old watched it. You let them see something like that? No, we should have been to one of them movies you had been to. You'll get that when you go home. No, we wouldn't take them to anything like that. They'd bring the lamb in. The priest would slit the lamb's throat. They would lay it down on the altar. And then you that was a sinner would come once a year and lay your hands on that lamb that you brought. Hundreds and thousands of lambs were giving their life. It was Passover. And because you laid your hands on there, your sin would be forgiven. The ultimate sacrifice was hanging on the cross, and it was dark. It was dark. No one could see. The Bible says that the curtain, when it was dark, split from the top, a lot higher than this ceiling, to the bottom. And I wondered why that was so important, because probably if it went from the bottom, they'd have thought somebody tore it. And it was so thick, you couldn't tear it. So when it split from the top to the bottom, then the priests were here, the people were here, the curtain was here, and then over here was another curtain, the outer curtain. Then here was the curtain that split from the top to the bottom. And no one was allowed in there but the high priest, just one person. Once a year, he was allowed in there. Just once a year. Can you see what happened at the temple that day? I saw it. I was in my green chair. I put Tara there. I wanted her to see it too. That split wide open. The people could see the priest. And the priest could see the most holy of priests, just one. Can you see their eyes and what they looked like when the curtain fell down all of a sudden? Can you see what kind of a reaction they must have had? And the Bible says the earth did quake. It began to shake. And they had our ground. You remember, Jerry? Even where we were sitting, it went, and our girls grabbed me. I mean, they thought the earth was going to split. And they meant for us to think that. They was making it alive for us so we could go home and it'd be real. Instead of going home today and saying, what are we going to have for dinner? Well, are we going back to church next Sunday? Well, I don't know. The real preacher wasn't there, and I sure don't like that sister very well. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But why don't you go home and read it for yourself? Preparation for the cross. Everything that was done. The Bible says the rocks split open. They didn't just fall over and crumble a little. The Bible says the rocks split open. The Bible says the graves opened up. And I'm going to let Bob preach on that. But the graves open up of the saints. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. It was quite something, the crucifixion and the cross. The centurion, I like that. This was his job. He had a job of watching the guys die on the cross, and then when they was dead, he helped take them down, and it was just his job. He done it every day. He saw it every day. He didn't think anything about it. But when he saw what happened to Jesus, he prayed, this makes me want to cry. He praised God and said, surely, this is the Son of God. When have you had your moment when you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, surely, this is the Son of God? I remember at an altar at Melrose, just a little church. I thought it was really big. I remember going forward there. I remember thinking, surely this was the Son of God. My mom and dad wouldn't tell me if it wasn't. I remember thinking, you know, I'm always going to go to church. I just won't ever get out of church because it just is a part of my life, and I'll just go to church. But when I thought, surely this is the Son of God, God began to turn our family, our Fry family, around like this. You know, I have two brothers. They're both preachers. How'd that happen? God looked down and said, if I can get that family and call them preach, I can get any family. That's how they got us. My brother Eddie's already in heaven. He wasn't a preacher, but he's better than this other three. He was the best of the four. He served God with all of his heart. Because one day each of us has had a moment with Jesus that, like the centurion said, surely this is a Son of God. The cross, I want to read you something. My son-in-law ran it off for me. It ain't all bad living with me. My mom and dad used to sing this. Jane, you'll remember. There came from the skies in the days long ago the Lord with a message of love. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind with the story, the sweetest story that ever was told, the greatest event that ever could have happened. With the blood of Jesus on a cross. The world knew him not. He was treated with scorn, this wonderful gift from above. Do you know, Michael? They crowned him with thorns. He was beaten with straps. He was wounded and nailed to a tree. I like that little girl. But the pain in his heart was the hardest to bear. The heart that was broken for me. Do you know what the soldiers did? I got to have help, Bonnie, getting down. When I'm at my church, people just stand up when I go to get down. I tell you, I might fall down preaching, but I'll fall down going up. I believe in what we preach. I believe that there was a cross and he died for you and me. I believe there's a story to be told. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. By this gospel, Paul wrote, you are saved. If you believe in vain, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. When I'm the least of the apostles, Paul said, maybe you're here today and think, man, I'm a nobody. I mean, people don't even know my name. And, you know, and they don't care much how I live. Paul said, I persecuted the church, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By God's grace, we've been forgiven. No more slaughter the lambs and lay our hands. No more ritual. No more ceremony. Doesn't mean we can't stand up and sit down and follow a bulletin. It just means don't get it so much in your way that you don't know how to clap when you sing, or you don't know how to stand up when no one else is standing up but you, or you don't know how to not, I can't go to the altar until it's time. What time do we go? What time do we go? Our little Tawny said this, and don't forget it. Let's sing, Michael, and it better be good. Our little Tawny said this, oh, Mom, tell me why they killed him. Tell me why they killed him. Why didn't somebody stop him? And all I could say, you are sweet, do you know that? All I could say to her as a little girl, and I remember you as a little girl, is they didn't take his life. He gave his life for you and me, so that we might be, it's an old-fashioned word, saved. Say it with me, saved. He died on a cross that we might be saved. He also died on a cross that we might be healed. Do you need healed today? I'm not talking about sickness. I'm talking about sadness. I'm talking about hurts. I'm talking about things that have piled in our life that it doesn't matter. I was with your pastor last week, and we didn't care if a room didn't get painted. Terry didn't care if she didn't get her all of her groceries bought. We didn't care about anything, but they'd come out of that room and say, Pastor Fry's going to be all right because God healed him. That's the only thing we cared about. And when you get down to where God, it's serious. It's serious. The Bible says you become as a little child and you accept him. Our little Tawny didn't understand. And she's preaching today, by the way. She's preaching today. Because she got it. She got it. You did too. You couldn't escape your dad for nothing. Not one thing. He was like my dad. Strong. But you had a loving mother. I was scared of my dad. Bob was too. Don't tell nobody. Scared of my dad. Not a thief's going to hurt me. But he might have hit me. We believed in that. And then I was afraid I was going to hurt my mother. My mother was so sweet. What if I did something wrong and she found out? She'd go. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe it cost him everything, church. I believed it so much that God called me to preach, and Bonnie, I thought he was mixed up. And I couldn't walk away. I seen him hang on that cross. I seen him die for me. Next week, somebody's going to preach about Easter. Why don't you get ready this week? Why don't you find your Bible, dust it off just a little bit, read it all out of the Gospels. Read it all out of the Gospels. It's good. Has different things. The one Gospel said they put a sword in Jesus' side to make sure that he had died. He already had died. It said it went through the ribs and hit his heart, and blood and water come out. I believe his heart ruptured when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You said, did God turn his back? You better believe he did. He won't compromise with your sin either. God died for our sins, and if you think you can have a little one and get away with it, you can't. When God shows you and puts a light on what you're doing and turns you around, we give it to God with everything that we have, church. Everything that we have. Let God put a light on your life today. He sure did mine this week. Everything I read. And then when I got it, let's sing, Michael.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.